The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. As we begin the season of Advent, we recall the Lord's own words, "I'll be back." And in the Gospels, as we get closer and closer to our Savior's crucifixion and resurrection, we hear our Savior's passion wanting us to be prepared and ready for his return. And so we pick up in verse 25 of chapter 21. Jesus said, "There will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth the stress of nations and perplexity, because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Doing some Christmas shopping already? Got a few presents? Yeah, man, I even have done it. I'm thinking, wow, I'm really ahead of the game here. So those gifts have to be hidden, right? Because you don't open up those gifts until, who opens them up on Christmas Eve? The right time to do it. Who opens it up Christmas morning? The strange time to do it. Now, no one wants to raise their head. Okay. Been kind of a contention in my marriage all these years. You know, there are gifts to give you don't have to wait for. And during the season of Advent, we're going to be thinking about the gifts that we can give right away. And today we think about the gift of prayer. The gift of prayer. Maybe you remember folding your hands, closing your eyes, kneeling beside the bed. Don't forget to say your prayers. But in confirmation class, I like to make the kids memorize this saying, "By our needs, God drives us to pray." Boy, the longer you live, the more you realize, boy, that's the truth. But by his gentle invitation, God invites us to pray. What's interesting today is we hear from the Apostle Paul a spirit-filled desire to pray. And he's bold to say to them, "I'm praying for you." That's quite a gift to hear. "I'm praying for you, Pastor." I think to myself, man, serendipitously praying for you. And I think, man, that is such a gift to receive. Thank you. Isn't it nice to know that people are praying for you? I mean, what a gift it is. This gift that we don't have to wait until Christmas to give to the people around us. And we certainly see the Apostle Paul doing that today. Praying for the Thessalonians. Praying and that God bless them and grow them in the faith, and praying that he can get to them. Paul wants to physically get to them, and so he's asking God to do that. I would suggest that it's more than just physically getting there. Have you ever gotten close to someone and realized they're still far away, emotionally, spiritually, and you forgot that you needed to pray for them? I mean, people can be right there and still far away, right? Quickest way to get to my wife is to talk with the Lord about my wife. So that when I talk with my wife, it works. You see, prayer is such a powerful thing. It's one of the most important parts of our life with God. It's our conversation with God. It's also one of the most important things we can do for one another. The quickest way for me to get to my kids, to actually connect with my kids, is to talk with them with the Lord. The quickest way for me to get to you is to pray for you. And I can be this close, I can still be far away. I don't get you, Pastor. Yeah, keep preaching. I need to pray that there can be that connection, that there can be that emotional connection. And so we pray for one another. That's what families do. We celebrate and we give thanks and we also pray that things can be fixed and that connections can be made. We can see God's hand of blessing. Prayer is one of the most important things we can do. Not only is it important for us to pray for and with each other, to give that gift of prayer, I'm praying for you, thanks. Praying for you, Pastor, thanks. But there's a lot of things for us to pray about. Case in point, what our Savior said just moments ago to us. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that they come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. So not only can we pray for each other as we see each other going through the challenges and changes of life, not only can we pray for each other as we see and celebrate those victories in our lives, but there's a lot of Christians getting drunk and they don't know why they're doing it. There's a lot of Christians that are coping in all kinds of unhealthy ways with their lives and they don't understand why they're doing it. There's a lot of people in this world that just feel compressed by all the demands and they don't understand what's going on. It's simply God at work, bringing judgment to the world. And while the Lord may not return right now today, but we still hear of all the signs to make us remember that His return will come. When we hear of wars and rumors of wars, when we hear of famine and earthquakes, when we hear of natural disasters, have those things been taking place lately? And so the Lord would have us pray that we can stand in faith and have hope and not just be nervous wrecks, emotionally broken in all kinds of different ways. Woe is me, the world's a mess and nothing's going well in my life. God doesn't want us to live that way. He wants us to live in hope. And He wants us to pray for strength to escape all these things. I'm praying that you have strength. Please pray for me. That's also part of the gift of prayer that we can give to each other, because the days are a challenge. And in so many ways in your life and my life, we are being whipped around by all kinds of things. And yet the Lord wants us to live in hope, to trust that He'll care for us no matter what. The interesting thing about the Apostle Paul is Paul was excited about the Thessalonians. He was excited about their life. And he was excited about the final day of human history we call Judgment Day. He was actually looking forward to seeing them standing before God. Okay, a little weird. A little over the top. But not really, because he knew that because they believed in Jesus, he knew they could stand before God fully and completely accepted whenever he showed up. And that gave him deep joy. They wouldn't want to hide. They wouldn't want to justify blame and excuse. They would say, "Here I am, Lord. I've been waiting for you." So Paul was excited about the church. Are you excited about the church today? There's plenty of work to do. It's not about them anymore. It's about us. It's about praying for one another. It's about praying for our guests coming for Journey. It's about praying for our neighbors that are going through all kinds of difficulties. Praying for people in Alaska, Northern California. It's praying for the people in your life that you're the only one aware of that are going through all kinds of challenges. Ask the Lord to bless them. Ask the Lord to grow their faith. Ask the Lord to help them like only He can. What's interesting about the Apostle Paul today is that he was convinced that whether or not he could get to them, and that was his prayer, that God would take care of the work needed, that Jesus would minister to them and grow them so that they may be in Thessalonica, God's church in action, sharing the good news, caring for each other, loving one another, that their love would abound for each other. Look, if a family can't love itself, it's not going to love its neighbors. And so Paul understood that the most important thing for the church in Thessalonica would be to grow in love, that they would be the witness to their community. But again, it's not about them anymore. It's about us learning how to love more and more each other, learning how to grow more and more in faith as Jesus ministers to us in word and sacrament, as we say in the Lutheran Church, so that we're excited about the church in our time. And so we're excited on that day when Christ comes back, knowing that we can stand before the Lord fully accepted because of what Jesus has done for us. We don't have to be afraid. Even if he shows up before the service is over, we can stand before the Lord knowing that we've been loved with an everlasting love. So high you can't get over it, so low you can't get under it. I'll still sing some songs with the kids at children's messages. So wide you can't get around it. That love is ours in Christ. But the Lord would have us grow in it and learn more. And that happens through the gift that God gave to us long ago. I love the scriptures where it is emphasized once for all. The sacrifice necessary to make us new happened once. But what Jesus did on Calvary's cross continues to have benefits every day in your life and my life. They abound. And those are the things being applied to us so that we can grow in hope and peace and joy and love, the symbolism of the Advent wreath, in the real deal, so that we can be more and more people of faith, praying for one another, encouraging one another. And so I'm praying for you. Pray for me. And during this Advent season, let's keep the lights on. Because the Lord has promised to come back. He keeps his promises. When I was a kid, and I know I've said this to you before, when I was a kid, my dad would say, when I get home, we'll go fishing. Man, I'd lay the gear out on the yard. Sometimes he'd show up and I'd have a hook in my finger, waiting for him to take it, I grab it, you know. Couldn't wait. But what the Lord has in store for us is so much better than anything we can imagine waiting for here, including Christmas. And he wants us to keep the light on, knowing that he'll be coming back. And in the meantime, praying for each other, that we have strength to face all the crazy things that are going on in this world today, have strength and a confidence, and also growing in faith. I mean, Paul wanted to get to them so he could help them grow in faith. And now it's about us growing in faith, learning what that means. Don't settle for your relationship with Jesus the way you think it is right now. Keep growing. Let us all keep growing up in what it means to live lives of faith, hope, and love for God and love for one another. So let's keep praying. Let's share that gift with each other. In the name of Jesus, amen.